Greenhow's counterpart on the northern side, Elizabeth Van Loo, enjoyed much more success, eventually becoming the greatest spy of the entire American Civil War. She lived in Virginia throughout the conflict, employing an array of strategies to glean valuable information about the Confederate Army. Elizabeth Van Loo was born in Richmond, Virginia, on 15 October 1818. Her early years, she herself recalled in memoirs, were lonely ones dominated by her critical assessment of slavery in the American South. "Since the time I knew right from wrong, it was my sad privilege," she wrote, "to differ in many things from the perceived opinions in my locality." In other words, she became an outcast early on because of her attitudes towards slavery. Both of her parents had been Northerners, after all, and therefore blood enemies of the Southern state's so-called peculiar institution. Educated in Philadelphia, Van Loo developed an early passion for the abolitionist movement. Elizabeth returned to her native Richmond in the late 1830s, a fine prospect for marriage. Beautiful, intelligent, and flirtatious, a true Southern belle. And though she indulged in the well-established courtship rituals for marriageable women of her class, choosing various suitors at public balls and scrutinizing them individually during chaperone private visits, she was never married. Instead, Van Loo dedicated her life to charitable work, and it was this activity that became her cover for espionage service for the North during the American Civil War. After a long illness, Van Loo's father died in 1843, leaving her a rich and independent woman, already a confirmed spinster at 35. When Virginia officially seceded from the Union on 23 May 1861, Elizabeth Van Loo was heartbroken. She wrote of her fellow Richmonders' enthusiasm, I quote, "Think of a community rushing gladly, unrestrainedly, eagerly into a bloody civil war. Imagine how the spirit of evil has reigned." Elizabeth began working for the Union independently by aiding Northern prisoners of war incarcerated in and around Richmond. The practice of espionage evolved later and quite naturally out of charitable work. Van Loo and her mother began tending to captured Union soldiers in the aftermath of the Battle of Bethel Church in June 1861. Not surprisingly, few Richmonders appreciated her benevolence toward the enemy, and Van Loo and her family early on were labeled pariahs. She was a madwoman whose service to the prisoners was deemed to be socially inappropriate, but not treasonous. Visiting prison camps with her elderly mother under the guise of aides in order to talk with ill-treated Northern prisoners desperate for food, water, and medical care, Van Loo began to collect raw intelligence useful to the Northern cause. And each trip, she carefully ciphered this information and sent it north via 5 separate courier networks, often tearing the messages and sending the information in 5 pieces through each of 5 courier routes. To stave off suspicion and criticism of her neighbors, early in the war, Van Loo shifted her own personal attention to wounded Confederate soldiers convalescing in Richmond hospitals. Even so, she simultaneously stepped up her own work on behalf of Union prisoners by enlisting the services of her slaves, mostly her former slaves, educated black men and women who, as all evidence suggests, were secretly freed years earlier. At the start of the Civil War, there were some 4 million enslaved blacks in the American South. As historian Mary Stark has noted, just as slaves provided the labor vital to sustaining the Confederate war effort, they simultaneously formed an unseen and voiceless potential enemy. Van Loo targeted primarily captured Union enlisted men who, unlike officers and civilian captives, were locked inside prison camps but largely ignored by their captors. Van Loo also managed to infiltrate educated blacks as slaves and servants in the homes of influential Southern families. By the end of the war, Van Loo was operating an African-American network of some 40 slaves and former slaves. One such recruit, Mary Elizabeth Bowser, who may have been Van Loo's own African-American half-sister, the daughter of a slave owned by Van Loo's father, found employment as the servant to Mrs. Jefferson Davis. Bowser was a Philadelphia-educated woman liberated by Van Loo in 1851 who posed as a slave in Richmond to run her Negro network of spies. Everything she learned, state secrets of the highest value, was dutifully reported to Miss Van Loo, who passed the information on to the Union. Bowser's black dispatches played a critical role in the Northern victory. And more generally, as historian Alan Axelrod has observed, escaped slaves or even freed blacks who sought asylum in the North were a fertile source of behind-the-lines intelligence. As one slave spy recalled, "We handled everything they wears and hands them everything they eat and drink. Ain't nobody can get closer to a white person than a colored person." In this way, Southern racism blinded white Southerners to a critical strategic vulnerability that would be repeatedly and effectively exploited by the North. As Confederate General Robert E. Lee would later concede, "The chief source of information to the enemy is through our Negroes." And yet, just as curiously, it has taken nearly 150 years for scholars to rediscover the courageous risks and critical contributions of Southern blacks who, as Rose noted, like all successful spies throughout history, did their jobs quietly and effectively, and then faded away.